Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly with Shazad Haque, and time now to catch up with our friends from the BBC to find out more about the headlines they're tracking in the week ahead. We're joined on the line now by Rich Preston, who is a senior world news reporter and presenter at the BBC. Rich, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi, Rachel. Good to be with you again.
Good to have you back with us. So, Rich, maybe we can start off with what's happening with Omicron. Can you give us a quick update on the COVID-19 picture around the world and any key developments that you're going to be watching out for this week?
Yeah, well, lots of concern about the speed with which Omicron is able to spread. Some studies suggesting it is 70 times more infectious than the Delta variant. And of course, when the Delta variant came along, that was more infectious than the previous version. It's spreading rapidly here in the UK. We've had three consecutive days of record case numbers at the end of last week. Hospitalizations up too, of course. But early studies, especially those in South Africa, do seem to suggest it can present with milder symptoms. That doesn't mean it can't be fatal, but there is some anecdotal evidence it can also be milder. But we're waiting for more information on that. But because of the high case numbers here in the UK, France banned travel last week to people coming from Britain. Germany has now followed suit. Austria is in lockdown. And the Netherlands has just begun a strict lockdown as well, which will include over the Christmas period. Shops, bars, other public venues closed until the 14th of January. Prime Minister Mark Rutte said those measures were unavoidable. We're expecting more of the same this week, frankly, and officials here in Britain say they can't rule out tighter restrictions. Now, there's a bit of PTSD around that, because last year we were told Christmas would go ahead as normal, and then just a few days before Christmas, a lockdown was brought in. So there's a bit of a concern the same thing could happen again this year. There's also a thinking that maybe Christmas will go ahead, and then immediately after Christmas, the government will introduce tighter restrictions, a so-called circuit breaker lockdown, to try and suppress these case numbers. Elsewhere in the world, Kenya wants to restrict the movements of unvaccinated people. Belgium, authorities there meeting to discuss mandatory vaccines. Romania wants to introduce mandatory COVID passes for all workplaces. And of course, we're keeping our eyes on how quickly Omicron spreads across America and the effect that has on cities like New York as well.
Rich, if we could just head back to the UK and what may or may not happen in the next few days with a circuit breaker or not. All that, of course, comes with the backdrop of the political issues that the Conservatives are facing at the moment and what's going on with Boris Johnson. He's facing rebellion within his own party as to the measures that he might take. We've had a resignation as well. This does not bode well for straightforward decision making, does it?
No, it really doesn't. This is probably the most challenging period the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, has faced. You mentioned that rebellion, you know, one of the biggest political rebellions against a sitting Prime Minister, with his own MPs voting against his coronavirus restrictions. He needed support from the opposition to get that through. Then there was the by-election in North Shropshire, which has been a Conservative seat for 200 years, and the Conservatives lost in that by-election to the Liberal Democrats. That was clearly a protest vote against the Conservative Party. These Downing Street parties held last Christmas against the Prime Minister's own lockdown rules. The civil servant appointed to investigate those has now resigned because it's been revealed he had his own parties as well in his office. And then these photos of staff at Downing Street out socialising in the garden when we were all told that no socialising could take place at all. Now, government spokespeople have said that this was a work event, that these people were all working. But it really, you know, even the traditional presses in the UK that support Boris Johnson, you know, their front pages splashed with these pictures this morning. And it really does question his leadership and his authority. And Boris Johnson, you know, popular boy in the Conservative Party, he's a vote winner. He is popular with the electorate generally. But serious questions now raised about his authority and whether he can continue to lead the party.
We're speaking with Rich Preston, senior world news reporter and presenter at the BBC. Rich, in other headlines this week, we've got a regular event in Russia, Russia's president, Vladimir Putin's annual press conference. Is there anything in particular that you're going to be watching out for?
Yeah, so this is happening on Thursday, Rachel. And it's funny, we call this a press conference, but it really is more a publicity event. The list of journalists is highly controlled. and restricted. The questions are vetted in advance. There are lots of questions from pro-Russian media outlets and state-controlled media outlets, which will set President Putin up nicely to give a strong answer to the questions that he's expecting. It comes at a tense time between Russia and the West. We are expecting questions about Ukraine, several thousand Russian troops amassed on the border with Ukraine. The US, the UK, Germany, France have all warned Russia against invading. Russia says it has no plans to do so. There's tension between Russia and NATO. Russia is warning NATO it should not be expanding eastwards. President Joe Biden has said that's not an assurance he can give. There's also the migrant crisis in Belarus, which Belarus is accused of orchestrating mass migration, trying to push into the European Union, and Russia has been accused of being complicit in that. Of course, they both deny those accusations. There's also, I'm expecting questions about the relationship with Germany. You know, Germany's got a new chancellor now, and President Putin had a good relationship with Angela Merkel. Is that going to continue with her replacement, Olaf Scholz? And this comes after last week, two Russian diplomats being expelled from Germany, having been accused of being involved in the killing of a former Chechen rebel in Berlin. As I say, though, the whole event highly orchestrated, but that is taking place on Thursday, so we'll see what President Putin has to say then.
Yeah, those things can go on for hours and hours, if I recall, these press conferences.
Yeah, they can. 4 or 5 hours sometimes,
Absolutely. Let's head over to North Africa, Rich, because there were supposed to be presidential elections in Libya on Friday, but increasing doubt that those will happen. Is that against the backdrop of basically the civil war that's going on?
Absolutely, yeah. Obviously, it's been a tumultuous few years for Libya, fighting between government forces, militia groups, Islamic State. More recently, fighting between the internationally recognized government and forces loyal to the former army general Khalifa Haftar and what he calls his Libyan National Army. Now, UN-backed forces have helped the government push back Khalifa Haftar's forces, especially away from the capital Tripoli. And these elections have been planned for 2 years. They're due on Friday, 24th of December. That's actually Libya's Independence Day. That's why that date was chosen. And the last time Libyans voted was 2014. So there is a real hunger for democracy. But as you say, it now looks like they won't happen at all. No final list of candidates has been approved. There are increasing doubts the votes would be free and fair. And further concern that, you know what, even if it does go ahead, any result might not be accepted by this deeply divided population. So this vote due to happen on Friday, supported by the United Nations, but now doubtful it will even happen at all, which just raises the question, you know, how long will this internal conflict continue in Libya for?
The problem we see, Rich, with Libya, it's also kind of a proxy war, isn't it? Because you've got a number of countries supporting Haftar, another number of countries supporting the legitimate government that, that was put in place. So these elections, there's going to be a lot of jockeying for position as well, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. And as you say, it's a proxy war. You know, it's like we've seen elsewhere in in like Yemen, for example. You know, it's international forces jockeying for position, international governments rather jockeying for position, using their players in the country. The interesting thing about the elections in Libya is actually that there were a few women on the ballot paper, you know, not what you would necessarily expect. And more women have registered to vote than ever before. So whilst there are influences from external governments, there is also a kind of real passion in the country for these to be as legitimate as possible. And, you know, lots of people the BBC has spoken to talking about issues like women's rights, security. So, you know, there was a hope, I think, that if the vote went ahead, there would be a bit of an air of authenticity about it, because regardless of what foreign governments want, the people of Libya really care about these issues themselves.
Okay, Rich. Well, thanks for all those updates and sharing with us what you're going to be looking out for in the week ahead.
Thanks very much for having me.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Rich Preston, senior world news reporter and presenter at the BBC. You're listening to Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.